Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, April 21st, and coming up in today's episode, Rahul Gandhi's allegation of voter miscalculation start a war of words with BJP. Ex-wife is the prime suspect in former Karnataka GDP's murder. Supreme Court responds to allegations of judicial overreach amid BJP criticism. And Pope Francis dies at age 88. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi's recent remarks in the United States have ignited a political row in India after he alleged that the Election Commission was compromised and questioned the integrity of the electoral process. Speaking at an event in Boston today, Mr. Gandhi referenced the 2024 Maharashtra Assembly elections and claimed irregularities in voter data. Mr. Gandhi said, and I quote, "More people voted in Maharashtra than the total number of people in Maharashtra. The Election Commission gave us a figure in the evening. 2 hours later, around 7:30 p.m., 65 lakh voters voted, which is physically impossible. It is very clear to us that the Election Commission is compromised. I have said this multiple times." These remarks quickly drew a strong response from the Bharatiya Janata Party, with spokesperson Shehzad Poonawalla accusing Mr. Gandhi of attempting to humiliate India abroad. The BJP described him as a serial offender and an agent of George Soros, and accused him of defaming the country on international platforms. The Congress has alleged possible voter fraud in the Maharashtra election multiple times, where the BJP-led Mahayuti coalition won 235 out of the 288 assembly seats. This came just months after the same alliance secured only 17 out of the 14 seats in Lok Sabha elections. Opposition leaders claimed that between 60 and 70 lakh voters had been suddenly added to the rolls shortly before polling. The Election Commission later clarified that the increased numbers were a part of routine voter registration and consistent with standard practices followed ahead of a state election. In response to the allegation, BJP leaders questioned whether similar concerns would apply to other election outcomes. They pointed to the Congress ally, the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha, which won the Jharkhand Assembly election held around the same time last year. BJP leaders also referenced Priyanka Gandhi Vadra's victory in Wayanad Lok Sabha poll, asking if she too had influenced the result. This is Rahul Gandhi's second visit to United States since September last year. That trip had also drawn criticism from BJP for his meeting with U.S. Congresswoman Ilham Omar, whom leader Amit Malviya described as a Pakistani-sponsored anti-India voice, radical Islamist, and an advocate of independent Kashmir. The Election Commission has not yet responded further to Mr. Gandhi's comments. However, Pawan Kheda, senior Congress leader, in a press conference today asked, "Why is Bharatiya Janata Party jumping to support Election Commission? Let the EC answer these questions. Asking questions is the root of democracy. Instead of answering, we are being labelled anti-national. Then you are only anti-national. This is my straight question to Narendra Modi, Devendra Fadnavis and Bharatiya Janata Party." The ex-wife and daughter of the brutally murdered former DGP in Karnataka were questioned for over 12 hours in relation to the murder. According to sources, NDTV has learned that the ex-wife is currently the prime suspect in the case. Om Prakash, former Karnataka police chief, had a fight with his ex-wife Pallavi at his house on Sunday afternoon. According to sources, Pallavi, the ex-wife, was so enraged during this fight that she allegedly threw chili powder at him, tied him up and then stabbed him to death. The 68-year-old was also attacked with a glass bottle. After the murder, the retired officer's wife spoke to the wife of another cop, reportedly, and told her that she had killed her husband, the monster, the sources said. The woman she called told her husband, who informed the cops then. On reaching the crime scene, police detained Pallavi and their daughter. The wife, Pallavi, according to sources, is the prime suspect in the shocking murder of the former police chief. Om Prakash's body had multiple stab wounds on the abdomen and chest, and two knives appear to have been used in the attack. According to reports, Om Prakash and Pallavi had an altercation over property he had transferred to a relative. This quarrel turned physical and she suspected to have stabbed him. Police are investigating whether his daughter played a role in the murder. A case had been registered based on complaint by Om Prakash's son, Karthikeya. The top cop's son said in his complaint that his mother and sister had been suffering from depression and had threatened to kill his father. Following the threats, Om Prakash moved to his sister's home. He came back 2 days before the murder when his daughter met him and insisted he return. This is what Karthikeya says. My mother, Mrs. Pallavi, had been threatening to kill my father, Mr. Om Prakash, for the past week. Due to these threats, my father had gone to stay at the residence of his sister, Ms. Sarita Kumari. Mr. Om Prakash returned home. He was brought back against his will. Karthikeya said he was not at home at the time of the crime and that his neighbour called him to inform that his father was lying downstairs. Om Prakash was an Indian Police Service officer of the 1981 batch. He was appointed Director General of Police in March of 2015. Before that, he had also headed fire and emergency services and home guards. Originally from Bihar, he held a master's degree in geology. Karnataka Home Minister G. Parmeshwara said, and I quote, retired DGP Om Prakash has been murdered. Preliminary information indicates his wife committed the crime, but it's under investigation. We have to wait. He worked with me when I was Home Minister in 2015. He was a good officer and a good human being. This should not have happened. However, investigation will reveal everything. Justice B.R. Gawai, who is said to be the next Chief Justice of India, reacted to allegations of judicial overreach and controversial remarks by some BJP leaders following its landmark judgment that effectively set a deadline for the President and governors to clear bills passed by the legislature for the second time. Said today that the court is facing allegations of encroaching into executive domain after a lawyer sought a direction to the centre regarding recent incidents of violence in West Bengal. The court's response came after advocate Vishnu Shankar Jain mentioned his pending plea link to West Bengal, which recently witnessed violence during the protest against the Waqf Amendment Act. The advocate said there is a need for paramilitary forces to remain on the ground to ensure peace. He said his pending plea, filed after post-poll violence in Bengal 2022, is listed for tomorrow. In his fresh plea, he sought directions to the centre to deploy paramilitary forces and set up a panel of 3 retired judges to investigate the violence. He also sought a report on the displacement of Hindus following the incidents of violence in North Bengal's Murshidabad. In response, Justice B.R. Gawai said, you want us to issue a writ of mandamus to the President to impose this. As it is, we are facing allegations of encroaching into the executive. Please. This remark by the judge, senior judge, who is set to take over as Chief Justice of India next month, suggests that Supreme Court has been closely following the remarks by a section of ruling party leaders against the judiciary. A section of BJP leaders have criticised the Supreme Court in the weeks following its judgment in the Tamil Nadu case, in which it ruled that the governor's decision to withhold bills indefinitely was arbitrary and set aside the governor's actions using its special powers under Article 142 of the Constitution. The order by the bench of Justice J.B. Pardewala and Justice R. Mahadevan also said that only courts have the prerogative to provide recommendations regarding the constitutionality of a bill, and the executive is supposed to exercise restraint in such matters. It underlined that it would be prudent for the President to refer bills with constitutional questions to the Supreme Court. Reacting to the judgment, BJP MP Nishikant Dubey said Parliament must be shut down if the Supreme Court makes all the decisions. Quote, the Supreme Court is crossing its limits. If one has to go to the Supreme Court for everything, then Parliament and State Assembly should be shut. When the Ram Janmabhoomi, the Ram Mandir, the Krishna Janmabhoomi or the Gyanvapi issues arise, you say show us the paper. But for mosque, built after the Mughals came, you are saying how will you show papers? The Supreme Court is responsible for inciting religious wars in the country, the Gota MP said. Mr. Dubey asked how the Supreme Court can set a deadline for President and governors to clear the bill. Quote, the President appoints the Chief Justice of India, Parliament makes the law of this country, and you will dictate the Parliament and the President? The BJP leader, Dinesh Sharma, said no one can challenge the President as the President is supreme. Earlier, Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar targeted the Supreme Court and said we cannot have a situation where you direct the President of India on what and on what basis. Article 142 has become a nuclear missile against democratic forces, against available for the judiciary 24/7. As the opposition parties accuse the ruling dispensation of targeting the judiciary, BJP has disowned its own MP's remarks and said they were personal statements. Amid the controversy, Mr. Nadda said, Mr. J.P. Nadda, chief of BJP, said BJP has nothing to do with the statements made by these BJP MPs. Pope Francis has died at the age of 88 following a prolonged illness, the Vatican announced on Monday. The first Latin American and Jesuit pontiff, he was elected in 2013 after the resignation of Benedict XVI. Born Jorge Mario Bergoglio in Argentina, Francis led the Roman Catholic Church for 12 years. Cardinal Kevin Farrell delivered the announcement on Vatican television, saying, and I quote, "Dear brothers and sisters, it is with profound sadness I must announce the death of our Holy Father Francis. At 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father. His entire life was dedicated to the service of the Lord and his church. In recent months, the Pope's health had declined. He was hospitalized on 14th February with bronchitis, later diagnosed with bilateral pneumonia. The Vatican reported that he was in a critical condition with signs of kidney failure. However, briefly, his condition improved, and he made a brief public appearance on 23rd March from the hospital balcony. He returned to the Vatican shortly after, continuing with limited engagements. On 19th April, the Pope met with US Vice President J.D. Vance. The next day, during Easter Sunday Mass, he appeared briefly and delivered his Urbi et Orbi benediction via an aide. In the message, he condemned the deplorable humanitarian situation in Gaza and called for a ceasefire. Quote, "I express my closeness to the suffering of all the Israeli people and the Palestinian people," unquote, the message stated. He urged the release of hostages and other groups and denounced the rise in global anti-Semitism. Pope Francis will be the first pope in more than a century to be buried outside the Vatican. In accordance with his wishes, he will be laid to rest at the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome. He has requested a single coffin made of wood and zinc, rejecting the traditional triple coffin burial, reflecting his commitment to humility. During his papacy, Francis made 47 foreign visits to over 65 countries, created more than 900 saints, and introduced reforms within the Vatican. He was notable among his actions for opening roles to women in church governance and allowing blessings for same-sex couples. He was a champion of progressive ideals as well. His efforts to engage the modern world and promote peace is marked a significant chapter in the church's history. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.